So I'd always make a wish and always say, like, I wish I could play for England one day. And I didn't care what sport it was. I always said, whatever sport. It didn't bother me because I just loved sport so much that it never bothered me. So ever since I was young, I always wished for that. Every time I had a wish, like on a birthday or whatever, I always wished the same thing. So I always knew I wanted to put on an England shirt. And the fact that it's with rugby is, yeah, it's really special to me because of the journey that I've had with it. It makes it even more special.
After leaving school at the age of 18, having barely touched a rugby ball, few would have predicted that 5 years later, Lauren Tawley would be representing England at a home Commonwealth Games in that sport. But that's exactly what the speedster did, scoring in front of a buoyant home crowd to add another chapter to a whirlwind career so far that has rapidly seen her rise to the top of the women's game. A keen athlete throughout her life, Lauren always dreamed of achieving one thing, representing her country in a sporting capacity. It was all she would ever wish for and, age 22, she finally achieved it. It's not been an easy journey. In her first ever game of contact rugby, she suffered a serious injury, while Lauren's also had to contend with a global pandemic and learn the game by playing against some of the finest players in the world. While she may be relatively inexperienced compared to those around her, Lauren's ability is clear for all to see as she continues to make her way up the ranks and now has her eyes set on one day becoming an Olympian. Not only has rugby given Lauren the opportunity to fulfil her childhood dream, she also explains how the sport has allowed her to keep in contact with and even grow her relationship with her brother, despite the fact he lives on the other side of the world, providing further proof that the power of sport really has no boundaries.
Welcome, Sportspiel listeners, to another episode. And I am delighted to say that today we are joined by Harlequins, England Sevens and GB Sevens rugby star, Lauren Tawley. First of all, Lauren, great to see you and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So we're recording in early January 2023. We may not be broadcasting at that time, but we're recording in early January. Reflecting back, I think my first question for you is reflecting back on 2022, a lot has happened, a lot of good things have happened for you. I guess, how do you look back and sum up that whirlwind 12 months for yourself?
It has been a brilliant journey for me, and I've been blessed with some amazing opportunities. And I think I've gone from playing at DNP this year, who are the bottom of the table for the 15s league. But with that, I was blessed with so many opportunities with them because I was able to play, get loads of game time under my belt. And I think that has been sort of the catalyst to why I was selected to sort of train with England Sevens. When I was there, I was lucky enough to go to all the tours, playing a Commonwealth Games and a World Cup. And those opportunities are really hard to come by, and also they don't usually come in 1 year. So it was a blessing to, again, get some more experience, play against some unreal players, which now just make me want to push myself more and more because I know what the standard is. So I can just keep aspiring to be like that. And then, yeah, I was really lucky to, since then, I've been training with GB Sevens, which I've loved. The training has been really hard. We've definitely had a step up from England in terms of conditioning. I feel like we condition all the time, but it's been amazing for our game. And you can see on the pitch, just our presence is slightly different and our fitness is definitely improved, which I think is why we can action a lot more of the things we're training onto the pitch. I would just say the year's been incredible for me, and I do continue to learn at a very steep rate still, but I'm really enjoying it.
So when you look back and sort of think where you were this time last year, have you exceeded all the expectations you maybe had for yourself? Or yeah, sort of when you reflect back to where you were a year ago and seeing what you've achieved, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it wasn't even in my dreams to have been invited into sevens. I mean, it was something that I've always wanted to do, and I played a summer season before in sevens, and I absolutely loved it, and I loved the fast pace of the game. And I knew it was always an avenue that I wanted to explore, but I didn't know that it was going to be in my reach that year. So yeah, I would just say that myself definitely didn't know in January last year that all of this that I've done in the past year was coming. And actually, it's really funny to reflect on it now, because I don't think I have done as much reflecting as maybe I could have, because it has been so busy, and it's almost been focusing for the next job. So yeah, it's quite nice actually to talk about it.
You mentioned there, sort of, you played a summer of sevens, hadn't done that much when you were then called up to start training in, was it March, I believe, last year?
Yeah.
How was that for you? Did that sort of come out of the blue? And sort of, yeah, how was it going to those first few sessions? How did you settle in?
Yeah, I definitely did feel a bit like a rabbit in the headlights. But the girls are just amazing there. And they... I think they sort of saw something in me. The funny thing was, actually, because I don't, because I hadn't played rugby that long, I didn't have any kit or anything. I had like a couple of bits, but like not really, didn't really have any rugby shorts, because I'd come from sort of netball and hockey. So my coach at the time sort of laughed with me and said, when I first saw you arrive, I was like, oh goodness, like I've picked someone up here that has no clue, because I was sort of wearing leggings and didn't really fit into what everybody else was wearing. I was wearing oversized raincoat. But yeah, so they sort of took me under their wing and showed me the game, but were also really patient with me. But I also think that they helped me see actually what my potential was. And sort of kept asking questions of me, kept demanding more of me. And it helped me massively just to, you know, get on huddle, review my game. And just really, really sort of improve that way.
You mentioned there how patient they were with you. And I think one thing that certainly I've noticed when I've seen the sevens teams, men and women, playing either on TV or seeing the social channels, is there's a real sense of camaraderie and a really strong team bond. What was it like, and how did they welcome you sort of when you were first joining, and how did that make you feel?
I think you're absolutely right, like especially in our team, I think because the training is so hard in sevens and you're always pushing yourself to the point of like absolute exhaustion. You know, a couple of times I've been sick in training, and that sort of shows the exhaustion that your body's under. And that sort of really binds people together, because you have to get through it together. So even when you're absolutely exhausted, you're with your teammates, you're trying to get each other through the experience. And through that, you learn a lot about each other. You obviously, sometimes you act emotionally, you might respond to something emotionally. So you learn a lot about someone's character that you wouldn't necessarily learn in another job, because you're seeing them in a really vulnerable state of them at their most exhausted. And we spend so much time together because we share rooms, etc. It really does help you build with one another in a very different way than you would probably in any other sport.
And does that then translate into on-pitch togetherness and teamwork as well? Do you believe spending that amount of time together and getting to know each other that well creates bonds on and off the pitch that are really strong?
Yeah, 100%. It definitely transfers onto the pitch. And I think, you know, because you've been able to push yourselves with that person, all you want then is the best for that person. And also, you know, exactly like all the vigorous training that you've been through. And before you go on the pitch, you know, you think together and you're like, let's think back to what all the stuff we've put in up till now. And we know we're ready. Like all of us know, okay, we've put in the graft. We've been there with each other at training, and we've also put the graft in at home. So I think that's how you know that you're together on the pitch, because you just know someone's got your back because they've been putting in exactly the same amount of hard work that you have. So I think it just breeds confidence when we go into playing.
And for someone like yourself, still a very young player, coming in to a program with a lot of other young players, but then some big names of women's rugby, thinking people like Meg Jones, Abby Brown, Jasmine Joyce from the GB side of things. What's that like coming into and playing and training alongside these really well-respected names?
Yeah, it's amazing to get their experience, and you just learn so much off them. I sort of observe how they attack, try and see how they manipulate me. If I'm on the pitch and they manipulate me really well, I'm like, okay, what do they do there? How do I sort of replicate that? So I think that's been a massive help for me, is just observing them play, but also learning how they approach on-field training. So they sort of have that thing of, as soon as you cross the white line, it's like, we're like, none of us are friends. We're all sort of competing against each other. And that sort of attitude is really helpful, because all it does is raise the bar at training. So I think that's something that I've learned from them as well, is how do you always, as soon as you cross that white line, how do you get into the headspace of, right, we're ready to just go, really, like, we're ready to make each other better, challenge each other as much as we can on the field.
And are you someone who would come into this environment and maybe sort of, I don't know, not being intimidated, but sort of have a lot of respect and sort of want to impress these big guys? Or did you just come in and just sort of showed your personality straight away, just cracked on with it? Sort of, yeah, how did you approach it when you first joined?
Yeah, I think my personality did come out very quickly, which was really nice. And it was nice for them to tell me they appreciated sort of the positive, bubbly side of my personality. And I think I felt really at home as soon as they sort of identified what my like unique thing is that I'm, you know, really positive and I bring good energy on the pitch. So the fact that they identified that quite early on helped me find my place within the team. And and I think that they're not intimidating at all. Actually, they want you to find what your niche is and bring that to the team, because they value, you know, everyone is valued in the team. And I think that also helps with our culture as well. They're brilliant at doing that. They're brilliant at just making everybody feel welcome, but also tested. And yeah.
Speaking of the word tested and testing, you've mentioned there sort of how, you know, training for sevens has sort of led you to exhaustion and things like that. And I think I just be really keen from your perspective to know, as a player, what the real differences are that you've noticed between playing 15s and playing sevens, because obviously we can see the differences on the TV. Fewer players on the pitch, bigger space to run in, sort of less time. But actually, as a player, how marked a difference is it, and sort of what are the big things that you noticed?
Yeah, the biggest thing I think that I notice is probably like the high speed running. We do so much high speed running in sevens just to be able to cover the field, but also the one-on-one. Beating your player one-on-one is so important in sevens, because you're faced with your opposite number, which also is the same in 15s. Obviously, you have a lot smaller space, but that is definitely essential. So I found it's easier to get the ball in sevens, obviously, because there's less people. So I've found that when I go back to 15s, actually the challenge is, how do I slot myself into different places on the pitch, which I think playing 15s has helped me learn how to manipulate someone in a smaller space, which has been really helpful actually to translate into sevens, because when that space, it opens up, it's given me a lot more time on the ball. It gives me more time to think and manipulate. I would say that they're the two biggest differences that I've found. Definitely the running is the biggest one with sevens. It's just, there's so much high speed.
Sportspiel is proud to be partners with the Mintridge Foundation. founded in 2015 by Managing Director Alex Wallace. The charity is dedicated to enhancing life skills in young people through sport. They provide a support network for young people by harnessing the power of sporting role models and have several wonderful ambassadors, many of whom have been guests on this show. The Mintridge Foundation assists young people of all ages, abilities and physical capabilities to develop confidence and resilience and creates awareness of the importance of mental and physical well-being through sport. Another wonderful example of just how powerful sport can be to everyone. To find out more, go to mintridgefoundation.org.uk or you can find a link in the episode show notes.
You've gone from 15s to 7s to Commonwealth Games and World Cups in a very short space of time, but actually you've done all of that in what, 5 years of playing rugby, if that? Just sort of wondering from, if you could tell us from your perspective how you got into the sport in the first place and sort of how it's led to getting to where you are now.
It's my third season of playing rugby. This will be my third one with Harlequins. I got into it I played touch rugby when I went on a gap year. I wanted to find something social because I've always loved team sports. So I sort of just played touch rugby, learned a lot of skills, you know, handling skills, passing. Another really good way to manipulate space as well, and just watch defenders' hips turning. So I learned a lot of skills with touch. So I played that for 2 years prior. And then when I went to university, I thought, I'll actually play contact rugby now. So I sort of did a little bit in my first year, played one game. I wasn't contact prepped, I'd say. My body was not used to the contact at all. And actually, I collapsed my lung and I broke my rib. And I actually was in hospital for 5 days with that, recovering with a chest strain. So that was quite a bad injury to obviously start. That was my first game and probably like my second tackle or something. And then we went into COVID. So in fact, I didn't really start playing till second year properly. And I just sort of went out on a limb and I thought, right, I'll contact DNP because they're in the Prem and only Premiership sides were allowed to play during the during COVID. So luckily enough, they let me join them and I just sort of developed my skills because all I could do was play rugby. So I sort of, you know, got slightly obsessed with it, never missed a training, always was trying to improve myself and my skills. Towards the end of my second year, got quite a few opportunities to play with DNP. And then, it sort of just continued from there. But I say I just got into it because I played touch and then I thought, actually, I'd love to just try the contact element. And they didn't have a touch rugby team at Newcastle. So it was sort of the natural progression to try and join the women's rugby side.
I've got a lot of questions off the back of that. firstly, you mentioned that you did team sports at school. And I know you mentioned, I think earlier in the interview, hockey and netball, and that when you'd left school, you wanted to try another team sport. What was it that made you give touch rugby a go? Because there are loads of team sports out there. What was it that led you to trying that?
Yeah, funnily enough, it was actually, I was working with someone at the time and they said to me, because I said, I need a sport that's really flexible. So all my hockey and netball teams, as much as I love playing with them, I needed to have a lot more commitment. Whereas touch rugby was a lot more of a social thing for me at the beginning. He was like, come down to touch rugby. Like, it's super chilled. We're in a league, more than happy to have you come and learn like different skills. So I went along and then I just started doing we just did one session. And then I played in the social league and I really enjoyed it. So then I was like, and then he was like, why don't you come along and join our club, which was the Vikings. And I joined the Vikings, did training on a Monday, and then played for them on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And then I still did the league. So I ended up going from like just doing it socially to sort of playing, like I played about four times a week and trained. And I just fell in love with it, really. And then, that was how I got into it. Yeah, that is how I got into it. Sorry. Sort of getting off in a tangent there.
And what was it you think that about the sport or about the social environment that you were in that got you hooked and gave you that bug so quickly?
Yeah, I mean, one, definitely part of my personality is, like, I've always been obsessed with sport. I've always, and also testing myself in different ways. So I think that helped me. That helped me, you know, get into it. But also, just the team was brilliant, and the game is just amazing. Like, I loved how fast the game was, but also how like tiny different movement patterns you needed to be so sort of, they need to be so well executed to actually manipulate the defenders because of the size of the pitch and the space. So yeah, I think that's what I loved about the game, and also the people that I played with were great. So it started off really social, and it always really was. Although we did end up playing a competitive league, and I ended up progressing to play for England Touch, because of the nature of the sport, it was always about everyone having a good time. Didn't matter who you were, what you did, what your skills were, everyone was welcome in Touch. And I think that's what I loved about the game as well, is that I met loads of people that I maybe would never have run into because of the very nature of the sport.
At what point was it straight away that you sort of realised that actually you could be, you know, a decent player and you could hold your own, or did that take a little bit of time? Sort of, yeah, when did that realisation happen?
Yeah, I think I realised that I would be good physically. I just thought actually my skills, what I'm good at, which is handling and sort of speed, and I'm good at stepping. So in Touch, I realized after a while, it definitely wasn't straight away, because at the beginning I really had no clue what was going on. I just sort of stayed on the wing and like tried to do the right thing. But after I got the movement pattern of placing the ball down, which is probably the hardest thing to pick up, and then learning how to manipulate defence because they're moving backwards, I just sort of learned after a while that actually it was all, especially Touch, was favoured into what I'm good at in the game.
And when you started playing Touch and you went along, how much knowledge did you have of rugby and women's rugby? Were you like a keen follower of the international teams or the domestic setup, or not really?
No, actually, I wasn't at all. I really didn't watch that much rugby at all. I have always watched the big games. So like I have watched the women play and I've watched the men play internationally. I love international rugby. So I'd always followed that from a young age. And my family have always really liked, sort of followed it. My eldest brother is absolutely obsessed with rugby. So he sort of brought that love. You know, he watches every game, every women's game. He follows the Broncos in Brisbane, and yeah, he really like taught me about the love. And then to be honest, he kind of gave me the passion, because when I started to play rugby, he was so invested in what I was doing, and it kind of helped me realize maybe how cool it would be if I was able to play professionally. And yeah, because of the passion that he had, I think that really helped me.
And how does he feel seeing you now, what you've achieved already, and, you know, what could happen in the next few years? How does that make him feel? do you think?
Yeah, it's amazing. He is so amazing. Yeah, he lives in Australia, like I said, but any game I play, whether it be 15, so obviously the time difference here at home, he'll wake up in the middle of the night and always watch it live. I'm always like, oh, brother, you can just watch it after when you wake up. And he's like, no, 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 I want to see it live. And same with my sevens games. He never misses anything. So, yeah, he is super proud. And it's amazing that it keeps us connected as well. Although he lives in Australia, it's such a blessing. That's what sport does, is, yeah, it keeps us really connected. And I love, yeah, I love that.
And I guess your whole family must be so proud as well as your brother, but yeah, everybody must be so proud of what you've achieved so far. And yeah, how do they, are they quite similar, or do they try and watch every game and yeah, come and support as much as possible?
Funnily enough, they're not huge into rugby. So my, they've been to watch me, but not that much, because they're like, my mom doesn't really want me to get hurt, and my dad's kind of the same. So they don't really like watching me. I think it's like, they, as long as they don't see it, they're really happy and supportive for me to do it, but they just don't, they're so worried about me getting injured, they definitely try not watch it as much. Whereas my eldest brother, obviously he played for a long time, so he's sort of like, he gets what comes with the game, so he's not as afraid. But they are super supportive, although it's definitely not their favorite thing to watch me do.
I think, yeah, rugby is one of those sports where injuries do happen, and that segues quite nicely onto my next point. And you mentioned there in your first contact game, you ended up in hospital with a chest strain. I guess, how did that feel at the time? And did it ever cross your mind that you wouldn't go back to rugby, or were you just more determined to go back after that?
Yeah, it was funny because it was kind of weird. I didn't necessarily... Loads of people told me after that they'd never heard of it before, kind of as an accident. And it is a little bit of a freak accident. It doesn't, like, people do break their ribs in rugby, but and it does puncture a lung, but never usually as bad as how it happened for me. So I think it's funny because everyone said to me, oh, it was kind of a freak accident, I actually really just parked it. And I thought, yeah, okay, like, my body wasn't really ready for contact, and I think that's why it sort of happened in such a drastic way compared to what it would have. So I think and to be honest, at the time, because I'd only played for maybe 2 months when I had my first game, I wasn't expecting to obviously make it into a career at the time. So I just sort of thought, right, I'll go back, see how I enjoy it. I ended up, obviously, it ended up going really well for me. But I'm so glad I did go back, and I didn't give too much respect to the injury, if that's the right saying. But yeah, I tried to just park it and leave it, because I knew that it was... And actually, since, I've never heard it happening to anyone that I've played with. So, and every time I mention it to people, they're like, whoa, like, I never heard of that. So I'm glad that I did, yeah, sort of believe that.
It's mad to think that, yeah, like in your first game, something so freakish would happen to you. But yeah, it's amazing to see how you've bounced back and where you've gone on to since. And then going on from there, you said COVID happened and you went to DMP Sharks and started training with them, training with a Premier 15s team. Again, how was the step up for you, and how did you sort of find that compared to what you've been doing previously?
Yeah, I absolutely loved the step up. I think I knew that once I sort of was playing at uni that I didn't want it to be social. I love social, playing socially, but I'm so competitive that I was ready for it to be a lot more. I wanted it to be more taxing. I wanted to compete with people. And obviously at uni, people, some people obviously do, but I definitely wasn't getting my competitive fix from there. So when I went to DMP, I obviously were playing with a different caliber of players, and that tested me in a different way. And I loved that. And I just wanted to continue to play against different people and learn again how they manipulate people, why they're so good at the game. And I think, yeah, it was definitely a step up, but one that I was very, like, really welcomed.
Are there any moments that you can think and reflect back on where you felt as though you maybe belonged at that level, or sort of moments that you feel sort of shaped you and your personality and your skill within the game?
Yeah, there was definitely moments where, like, when I had my first game, I felt so out of my depth. I felt so out of my depth sort of in my first game, in my first few games, because I just didn't have the knowledge of the game. And obviously it's hard just to be in the right positions and stuff when you don't have the knowledge. But since, after playing like a few games, I got hooked to it and I loved. And like the benefit was playing against all of these world-class players. You know, I was playing against people, the Red Roses. I was playing against other international rugby players. And I was getting exposure against them. And that helped me massively. You know, it taught me how to tackle better players, taught me how to be more physical. It also showed me, you know, things that I found hard to defend again. It helped me in my game learn how to manipulate players. I think I can't remember if I answered the question, sorry.
And when you're playing against the caliber of people you're playing against, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, I want to be as good as them, I want to be at their level, or are you just thinking, I just want to learn from them? Yeah, so what goes through your mind? Is it that more learning from them, or thinking, yeah, I want to be as good as these guys?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it's probably a bit of both, because it's a constant learning game. So obviously, depending on who you are and what your strengths are, you're always going to manipulate defenders differently. So I love testing myself as well and seeing sort of, regardless of who I'm opposite, how do I still execute what I'm good at against them? So yeah, I think that's the biggest benefit in having such a good 15s league in England, is that you are able to play against, you know, massive amounts of different players that are all awesome.
And you've gone very quickly from playing against international players to becoming one yourself, making your England Sevens debut, I was going to say this year, but last year now, but within the last 12 months, what was it like pulling on that jersey and stepping out, playing for England for the first time? How did that feel?
It did feel amazing. It's so cool to have your name on the back of a shirt. I think that's something that I always loved, like dreamt of. I always wanted to play for England. I always used to, I can't remember what they're called, but those little flowers that you blow away when you make a wish.
Yeah, I can't remember them either.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, the little flowers that you blow away to make a wish.
Dandelion.
So I'd always make a wish and always say, like, I wish I could play for England one day. And I didn't care what sport it was. I always said whatever sport. It didn't bother me, because I just love sport so much that it never bothered me. So ever since I was young, I always wished for that. Every time I had a wish, like on a birthday or whatever, I always wished the same thing. So I always knew I wanted to pull on an England shirt, and the fact that it's with rugby is, yeah, it's really special to me because of the journey that I've had with it. It makes it even more special. So yeah, it's such a nice feeling to sort of all those training sessions that you've put in, all the times, I know it was with different sports, but all the times my parents took me to different things, and I spent every evening after school and every weekend playing, and sort of the things you miss out on along the way. I think as soon as you put on that shirt, you know, you have, yeah, there's just no regrets with anything.
And how did you feel in the 24 hours leading up to that debut, that first appearance? Were there nerves, excitement, anticipation? You know, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, 100% there were definitely nerves, but I think, like, I get quite nervous before I play anyway, like in all games. But I think I've learned now to sort of spin that into, this actually is a really positive energy and it's something that I care about and I'm excited to play. So I've learned how to spin those nerves, because sometimes I almost used to feel sick before I played because I get so nervous. So I'm glad that I've learned that along the way. But yeah, I definitely say the main feeling I had was nervousness.
And you've gone from making your England debut to 3 months later playing at a home Commonwealth Games, a multi-sport event, you know, one of those events that seems the pinnacle of the sport. What was that experience like for you?
It was incredible. I never knew, I didn't have necessarily have any expectations for it because I just didn't know. But the older girls sort of told us, a lot of the younger girls, how to just really soak up every moment. So every part that is special about a multi-games event. So in the Commonwealth Games, we're all together as a team. So we changed from being England rugby to being Team England. And I really felt that change when we had a camp, because usually we do have our camps in Loughborough, but this camp, they made it feel really special. They put, you know, we had different decorations everywhere. We had different kit. We had things in our rooms, and it really made me feel special, especially when we had, you sort of do a kit try on, and that you have a personal shopper as such who help you fitting your kit, and whatever you need, they go and get it. If you need something tailored, they tailor it for you. And I think that was the most amazing experience for me, was just, wow, this is really special. This has been in the works for years, and I'm able to be on the front of that, and I am actually representing the brand. So that was the most amazing experience, was just to, yeah, I've never felt so special as I did before I played in the Commonwealth Games, because they just made such a fuss of us, and it really felt so unique compared to sort of other games, you know, playing the World Series, to say.
Are there any moments from the games on or off the pitch that really stand out to you as really special memories to reflect on?
There was another fun memory. Was we weren't allowed to go to the opening ceremony, which was a little bit sad, because obviously I would have loved to have gone, but we were playing the next day, so we couldn't have been out that late. But I loved it, because we all put on our kit anyway. We put on our opening ceremony outfit, and then we all stood outside of our where we were staying, and then we were out there clapping all the other teams. And I think that was a really special memory for me, because everyone was wearing their opening ceremony outfit, and there was just a real buzz around the camp where we were staying pre Commonwealth Games. So yeah, I do really love that memory, because it was a very unique experience that obviously no one else was able to share, unless you were an athlete in the village.
And what was it like for you as a player coming out and playing in front of a very boisterous home crowd, and it was a very family orientated crowd as well, and, you know, being role models for young boys and young girls? How did that make you feel?
Yeah, it was incredible. We did a lap of honour at the end, and it was just amazing. I felt so you just felt so filled with joy, because one, I have never been privileged enough to play in front of that many people. So that was the first time I was able to play in front of that many people, but also that many people that wanted you to win. And it was such an incredible feeling when you know, anytime you got the ball, you could feel the buzz, you had the crowd behind you. And that was amazing. And then when we did the lap of honour at the end, just everybody stood up and they really appreciated the game that we played. And I think it felt like people were appreciating what women's rugby was. It felt like there was almost a bigger meaning behind it. And yeah, the respect that we got, and all the little people, the younger people that came down to sort of have photos and autographs, like that was really special as well. To feel like people really valued what you were doing. That was a really, really fond memory.
How does it feel to be a player playing at the top level of women's rugby when the sport is growing so much in terms of media exposure, in terms of crowd numbers, and people just being aware of the women's game? As a very young player yourself, with, you know, a long career hopefully ahead of you, how excited are you for where things can go in the next decade or so?
Yeah, I think it's so exciting. And even training is you know, getting so much more competitive, and in the squad you have so much more depth, and I think that just makes it so exciting to play. And yeah, like you said, we get a lot more people down, especially at Harlequins. We get a lot more people down supporting, and it really changes the game. It makes it, every game feels so special to play. And also the fact that you see there's lots of little girls that come along after and talk about what they're doing, and how it is an opportunity for them now. Because when I was at school, it was never an opportunity for me to play rugby, which I think is why I found it so late. We were only allowed to play netball and hockey. So although I would have loved to have played rugby and experienced, you know, it for longer, I'm so glad that now actually it's in curriculums, and girls are exposed to the game and not forced to just play two sports when the men are able to, you know, at school, the men were able to play, you know, loads of different sports, whereas we were sort of limited to just a couple.
And how far do you think women's rugby can go in terms of just the levels of support and exposure in this country? I think the amount of people tuning in for the Red Roses and their World Cup recently, we've had some big crowds. Do you think it can get on par with the men? And yeah, how exciting is that for you as a player to try and help bring that around?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't see why it couldn't keep growing. I think maybe not in the time that obviously I play, but maybe that's because I you know, it's hard for me to dream that big because I just haven't seen it yet. But yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll just keep growing, and the popularity, I mean, you can already see the popularity of the sport. Like you said, it's amazing the trajectory that it's on. But yeah, I can only hope that it sort of does, so it can give more opportunities for women to actually have careers in sport. Which, yeah, that would be my main thing. It would be amazing for it to be easier for women to have a career in sport. Like, you know, the men's squads have 40 professional contracts at the moment. The women's don't have, you know, many teams don't even have any professional contracts. So I think, yeah, that'll be the most exciting thing for me, would be actually just having professional women. I think there should be more professional women athletes out there.
Make sure you follow Sportspiel on social media. Search for Sportspiel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on LinkedIn.
Changing tack slightly here, but as well as being a professional high-level international rugby player, you're also a sports psychology master's student, which I'm fortunate enough to do alongside yourself. How are you finding the course, and what is it about sports psychology that you find interesting and makes you want to study it?
Yeah, I think actually it was personal, really personal for me, because my journey into rugby has been so quick, and also my international exposures came along really quickly. I learned a lot about myself, how I operate in a team situation, and also the pressures that come with being an athlete and come with performing. So I've always found it really interesting. I've always been interested in how people interact, how people work. But actually, as when I had those personal battles last year, it just solidified it for me that I definitely wanted to do my master's, because of how, well, we're not fortunate enough to work with a sports psychologist. We did have one during the Commonwealth Games, but we're not fortunate enough to work with one regularly. But actually, it's a massive, massive element to the game. And so now I found a new passion that I'd love to be able to make it more accessible for women athletes who actually don't get that benefit. So yeah, I'd say that's the main one for me, is that actually learning about how to deal with different situations and all the different techniques that you can use to help you. I think that's just made me so passionate, even more passionate. And it's and the course has actually really helped me implement it into my own game.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Have you found, so we're sort of still learning a lot of things and maybe touching the surface, but have you found that you're actually sort of taking reflections from what you're learning and using those to sort of, yeah, further your game and also further your understanding of yourself as a person and as a player?
Yeah, I think it's definitely just made me actively think now. I'm trying to actively reflect on training sessions, actively reflect on why I might have felt a certain way, rather than sort of just going along, brushing it, you know, whatever happens, keep moving on, and then getting to a point where actually I feel really emotional and I don't know why. So I think, yeah, it's definitely just made me, at the moment, it's made me, you know, actively reflect, ask people why, you know, they might have talked to me a certain way or why they might have expressed something on the pitch a certain way. And once I've understood that, it's made, you know, it's helped me a lot, and I've found benefit in going forward, so that I'm not focusing on something that doesn't matter from the past. Actually, I'm able to stay present in the moment rather than, you know, giving in to my sort of emotional brain at the time.
Do you think the role of sports psychology is perhaps still undervalued, and the role of a sports psychologist, just thinking that, you know, yourself and there are a lot of other professional athletes in other sports that don't necessarily have 24/7 or, you know, all around time access to a sports psychologist? Do you think that that's still something where there's still room for improvement and actually recognizing how important it is to have someone there to help you either through those difficult moments or help you find out more about yourself as people and athletes and really enhance you as performers?
100%. I think you probably won't speak to an athlete that hasn't had struggles, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a major struggle which stopped them from playing, but actually they're constantly under scrutiny, and naturally you're always going to have to battle with something, whether that be an injury, whether that be selection, you know, there's always something as an athlete that you're going to have to struggle with. And if we had more effective ways of coping, then it would help athletes massively to then just keep improving and looking for the next job, rather than, you know, maybe dwelling or having their confidence knocked due to selection or injury. So yeah, I mean, I think obviously with exposure, especially with our game, then the budgets will get bigger and actually we will be able to have sports psychologists. And I do think it's massively undervalued, because I don't think anyone would say that they've regretted speaking to someone.
And not wanting to wish your career away at all, you've still got a lot of rugby left to play, yeah. But when the time comes around that you do have to hang your boots up in 10-15 years time, is that something you think you might like to go into then, sort of giving back and helping the next generation of athletes as a sports psychologist?
Yeah, 100%. If I am able to just help, you know, a couple of people, it will be amazing. It's definitely an aspiration of mine, and also maybe a way that I, you know, sort of never have to let go, because I'm obsessed with the environment. I love the elite environment. And I think that is something that I hope that I'm able to, you know, work alongside elite athletes. So yeah, maybe I can continue the dream as long as possible.
And you're going to be fighting for jobs by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're only 23. There's still so much that's going to happen in your career on the pitch. You've already achieved so much in the less than five years already you've been playing rugby. How far ahead are you looking in terms of what you want to achieve in the future? And yeah, what are you sort of most excited about that's coming up for you?
I mean, I would love to be an Olympian. I think that would be my main goal. Looking forward, you know, whether that comes for me in the next year or whether that comes for me in, you know, for the next cycle. I think that would be one of my main aspirations, because I absolutely love competing in the Commonwealth Games. And I know that some of the girls I've spoken to about the Olympics, it's obviously just heightened all of the amazing and unique experiences that you do get with the multi-sports games. Are just even bigger because of because of the nature of the Olympics. So yeah, I'd say that's probably my biggest aspiration looking ahead. But yeah, to be honest, for me, it's just, again, just keep getting the game time and keep learning so that actually these opportunities do come for me.
And then final question. How important are things like the Commonwealth Games and the Olympics for the exposure of rugby sevens? Because I know when they first came in a few years ago, there was a few question marks saying, oh, but rugby's a professional sport anyway, why should it be in the Olympics? But actually sevens is very different, funded very differently, very different exposure. How important is it for you as athletes that you've got these opportunities to showcase your skills and how good you are and how good the game is on such a wide scale?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely incredible. Like at the Commonwealth Games, we've never played in front of that many people. And it felt different. And it was amazing for people. I had some people from home who'd never watched the game. And they were like, oh my goodness, love the game. You know, they had a day there. They were able to watch maybe 26 other teams, different teams competing against each other in short blocks of time, obviously only 14 minutes. So yeah, it's amazing for the exposure of the game. And also it's so nice to be able to share the love that we have for the game with other people. And obviously, yeah, it's not as popular. And in England, we don't have a pathway for sevens. It's just, if you play 15s, you might get brought over. It's definitely important. It's important for the game of sevens as well, for the exposure, so that actually we can start competing with teams like Australia and New Zealand who have that pathway into sevens. Yeah, so for us, yeah, it is. It's really important, those big multi-sport games.
And it's just up to me then to say, well, it's been amazing to see you performing at one multi-sport event already, which was then very weird having watched you on the TV when you walked into that lecture room on the first day, being like, oh yeah. But yeah, we'll be certainly following your career very closely. We wish you the very best of luck and thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Will. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you once again to Lauren for such a fun interview, and we cannot wait to see how she continues to develop as a player across the coming years, and she's certainly one to watch out for. Also, a massive thank you as always to you, the listeners, for tuning in, and please continue to spread the word with your friends, family and colleagues. If you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to us in all of your usual places to get each episode delivered to you as soon as it's released, allowing you to hear more brilliant interviews with wonderful guests. You can also find us on social media by searching for the handle at SportsBuildPod, while we also have a newsletter that you can subscribe to, the link for which is in the show notes for this episode. We'll be back next week with another fantastic guest, so make sure you stay tuned for that.